Good morning, and a very warm welcome to our morning service here at Newport on Tay. Amos, our minister, is currently on annual leave in Wales, and so it has fallen to myself, a member of the worship team, to lead our service this morning. To our congregation in church, any visitors in our midst, our virtual worshippers joining us online via Zoom, or those viewing a recording of this service at a later date, we extend a very warm welcome. It is good to have you worshipping with us, and we trust you will find true friendship and fellowship, be it physical or virtual, with us this morning. After the service, those in church are warmly invited to join us for a tea or coffee in our hall through the link corridor. And I would also like to take this opportunity to welcome and thank Lewis Thompson, our organist, for leading us in our musical responses this morning. In a moment of silence, let us prepare ourselves for worship. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 118, verses 19 to 24. Open to me the gates of righteousness, so that I may enter them and praise the Lord. This is the gate that the Lord has prepared, so the righteous may enter. I thank you for having answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us exult and rejoice in it. We have come to church this morning, not through duty or obligation, but through a personal desire to give thanks, worship, and praise to the Lord our God, or to seek his solace, comfort, and renewal in our lives. It is therefore fitting to sing our first hymn of praise, inspired by Psalm 118, CH4, number 194, This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us pray. Hear, Lord, we rejoice in the stillness and sanctity of your presence. In this day, we gladly rest in your peace. Lord, help us make sense of the many experiences, feelings, and emotions that we have encountered throughout this past week. Forgive us for the times when we have not heeded and responded to the pleas of others. For the times when we have placed the needs of ourselves before your service. For the times when we have not followed your perfect sacrificial example. For the times when we yielded to temptation, knowingly following our own desires. Allow us now to rest in your peace and be still. Help us to surrender all that we are to you, our failings, our concerns, our hopes, and our fears, in the knowledge that you alone can restore the penitent heart, re-energize the weary body, and redeem us from our sins. Merciful Lord, with a pure heart, we thank you for taking away our sins. Let your Holy Spirit guide our lives on the narrow way you would have us follow, so that our souls may bear the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Renew our desire to be your faithful friend and servant. Increase our loving dependence on you, and grant us that joy and peace of heart which comes from doing your holy will, emulating your loving Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, following our youth service and the successful use of video, our next hymn is going to have a video accompaniment. For those of you following it in the book, it is CH4, number 467. And it starts with one verse, verse 1, verse 2, the chorus. And then we go back up and sing from verse 1, verse 2, and the chorus. And then we drop down into the third verse and then the chorus. Sounds rather complicated, but I think the only people that will have any difficulty are the choir, because we are able to follow it on the video. They have rehearsed. I'm expecting the best of them. Thank you. Thank you. And commendations to the choir. Excellent. Do we have any children in church this morning? Oh, good. Good morning. How are you all today? You're all good. Are you all healthy? Fit? Strong? Excellent. We've got some work to do. Now, in the Bible, because there was no photography, no videos, Jesus often used examples that people were familiar with when he was giving them a lesson. And today, we have one such piece of architecture, and it is this gate. It's actually known as the Narrow Gate and one of the gates into Jerusalem. It was the only gate that was really available at night because all the big gates were closed for security, to keep robbers and their enemies out. But there was one small gate, and it was later referred to in the Bible as the Eye of the Needle Gate, a small gate that allowed access into Jerusalem. Now, I wonder, if you arrived with your camel train and the gate was closed, do you think you'd manage to get through? No. The camels would be far too big, and then their load on top. So they had to stay outside and wait till the following morning when they could get in to Jerusalem. I wonder, could you actually get in through the gate? Would you like to come and try? Yes, would you all like to come and try? See if you can get in through the gate. Oh, yes, one in. Okay, and another one in. Okay. Right, yes, you can get in. Oh, yes. And, yes. Can you get in through the gate? Oh, yes. And then back out. Excellent. Well done. Well, I'm glad you've demonstrated because I'm not going to. The gate was used by Jesus when he referred to our entry into heaven. And he said that narrow is the gate that would allow us entry into heaven. Now, you're all quite young, but I'm sure you've somehow managed to get up to mischief already in your lives. So I've got a task for you. Can you come and help me with these? And if two of you can take a box, you can get one at the front. And can George, can you take this one? Can you take and help? Excellent. And if I can ask you boys to take those ones. Okay, now you're going the wrong way. We're going this way. Let's go this way. Oh. Okay, everyone managing? Good, good. Ah, it's quite a journey. Everyone's managing so far. Oh, are we? Excellent, we're managing, good. Oh, it's hot. Oh. Are we still okay? Excellent. Now then, here we go. Oh. We've made it. Now, can we go in through the gate? No, we can't go over. Through was the operative. Can we get it in? No. Oh, dear. Yes. How do you feel? Are you tired?
No.
Are you weary?
No.
Was the box very, very heavy?
No.
No. Well, let's just take a look and see what was in the box.
Oh.
Oh.
Nothing. Anger just like jealousy.
There we are.
Good things,
so pride is a good thing.
Sometimes.
Arrogance?
Well,
no. Envy, greed. You're in a bouncy castle?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't have a bouncy castle today, I'm afraid. I've just got a small gate. Anger, dislike, jealousy, and hatred. Now, what if you had to take these boxes with you all through your life? How do you think you would feel? Would you then feel heavy laden and very weary and very tired? Every day of your life you had pride and arrogance and envy and greed, hatred towards some people, jealous of others. You disliked people and you had a festering anger. Do you think that's very healthy? Well, Jesus didn't think it was. And he said to me, he said to everyone, come unto me, all you are who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he said that we could take all of these things to him, to the cross. And in return, he said that my load is light. And so Jesus has taken all our sins and has given us a loving heart, an opportunity to follow him. And if we follow him, then can we still get through the narrow gate? Can you? There we are. Yes. And too much porridge, I think. Excellent. So there we are. If we follow Jesus, we will be able to enter through the narrow gate. Why? Because by choosing to follow him, he has allowed us to give up all of those other weights, heavily laden items that we would carry around in our life with us. He said to give them to him. He died for our sins on the cross. And in return, he has given us his love, his guidance, and ultimately an opportunity to get in through the narrow gate into the fullness of life and ultimately into heaven. Okay, thank you for your help, and we're going to sing a hymn now before you go off to your classes. Thank you. And we're going to sing from Junior Praise 124, I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ.
Thank you. The first reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, and then 21 to 23. This can be found on the overhead or page 971 in the Pew Bibles. The narrow and wide gates. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And at verse 21, true and false disciples. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. This is on page 977 in the Pew Bibles. Rest for the weary. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn is 355, You, Lord, are both Lamb and Shepherd.
Thank you.
You who walk each day beside us, sit in power at God's right side. You who preach a way that's narrow, have a love that reaches wide. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, and the meditations of our hearts be worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Following the outbreak of the First World War, a ploughman from a farm in rural Fife answered his nation's call and joined up to serve king and country. His skill and prowess in handling horses and attending to their welfare were quickly recognized, and he was immediately put in charge of a unit of horses responsible for the transportation of military equipment and supplies to the front line. The horses often sadly returning with the wounded, the broken, and the dead, often wounded themselves, sometimes not returning at all. When he came back at the war's end, he never spoke of his experiences, the carnage, the suffering, the loss of life, both in human and animal terms. It was altogether far too harrowing and painful a memory to revisit. This ploughman was my granddad, who died in 1976 at the age of 86, the youngest of 18 children born to my great-grandparents. Because of this strong family association to the land, and in particular horses, along with my uncle, a farmer who worked with horses at Pusk Farm near Lookers until the mid-80s, and my father-in-law, who came from a long line of farriers, one of the most personally moving memorials I have ever visited is the Animals at War Memorial in Park Lane, London, unveiled by Her Royal Highness the Princess Royal in 2004. And here we can see an image. I wonder if any of the members of the congregation have visited this memorial. For those who haven't, let me describe it to you. It consists of a curved wall about 8 feet high with a small gap offset from the middle. The surface of the wall is covered in relief sculptures showing all the different ways in which animals were used, particularly in the First World War. There are horses and mules, elephants and camels, dogs and pigeons, and they're all shown in various states of labor and suffering. And walking towards the gap are two life-sized bronze statues of artillery mules, weighed down with ammunition boxes and gun carriage wheels. They look exhausted and afraid, their heads and tails are bowed down, their ears pinned back, their limbs are straining at every sinew. And if that's all this memorial was, it would be another example of the senseless suffering caused by war and how it extends beyond the suffering inflicted by human beings on each other. But there's more to it than that, because on the other side of the gap, we have a horse and a dog. But these animals are different because they are running and have been set free. They are no longer weighed down with packs, saddles, and baggage. They are no longer in any pain or danger. Instead, they've been released to run and be themselves. to lift their heads and feel the joy that freedom truly affords. Following armistice, it was a freedom my granddad also enjoyed. Out of the mud and the ensuing bloodbath and the sheer desolation he encountered, new seeds, fresh growth, and the promise of plentiful harvests once again became the focus of his life, as he and his dedicated team of horse skillfully ploughed the fertile soils of Fife. Both in the monument in Park Lane and my granddad's experiences, we can paint a picture of transformation. A transformation from fear and cruelty, overbearing burdens and ceaseless toil, of wars and conflict, to a world of personal freedom and global peace. And it's a picture that resonates with so many of us in our troubled world today. Historical tensions still proliferate between nations. Religious and political differences still perpetuate suspicion and mistrust. In our society, wealth and status continue to divide, defining lifestyle and career prospects. Barriers to equal opportunities grow even higher, becoming seemingly unsurmountable for those compelled by circumstance to remain on the wrong side. And what of our own lives? Do we still carry the burdens of the past, inherited family grievances, personal prejudices and biases, fueled by ignorance or possibly just misinformation? Past wrongs we've failed to put right, but instead have buried in the depths of our hearts and memory, left to fester and multiply like some untamed virus. Do we feel tired, worried, and heavy laden, like the artillery mules? There is, however, an answer, a guaranteed solution for us all. And it is a solution born out of the readings from Scripture read to us this morning by Ron. And it is a transformation shaped by drawing reference to the Animals in War Memorial with its three discrete structural elements. And using these elements in turn, in true Stan Brooke fashion, we can explore this solution in three parts. Firstly, let us consider the approach and the burdens borne. Secondly, the narrow way and the narrow gate. And finally, the ultimate freedom and perfect peace. Firstly, the approach and the burdens borne. Referring back to Easter time, as Christians, it is not too difficult to make a connection between the tiredness and weariness depicted in the artillery mule sculptures and that of Christ, weighed down by the burden of his cross, our sins, as he stumbled his way through the cobbled streets of Jerusalem, beaten and humiliated, heckled by the crowd, heading towards Golgotha and his crucifixion, his preordained destiny. And as for ourselves, as we too struggle onwards in our faith journey, have our experiences to date also brought us to a state of anxiety and exhaustion? Are we constrained and saddled by our past? Are our heads bowed down, our future desperate, looming over us like a seemingly impregnable wall? just as the world, shackled and burdened by history, traditions, and prejudices, we too, as individuals, must heed the transforming offer given to us by Jesus in our first reading from Matthew's Gospel. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Humanity has this offer above all offers, to shed the burdens of the past, the anger, the prejudice, the hatred perpetuated over countless generations, and to accept repentance, reconciliation, and live together in perfect peace. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Then, like the mules unburdened, we too can approach the narrow gap in the wall, the gap which beckons and pulls us forward as we follow Jesus on the narrow path, the path he has already prepared for us whilst he lived on earth, leading us onwards towards the narrow gate or gap in the wall. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to release those heavy burdens which we carry in our hearts, the burdens we have borne for far too long, the burdens which hold us back, impede our spiritual growth and relationship with you. Give each one of us the strength to fully place our trust in you, to accept your reassuring, easy yoke and light burden to guide us through our future life in this world and beyond. We ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Secondly, let us now consider the narrow way and the narrow gate. The 8-foot stature of the main wall of the monument can be considered to represent a significant barrier, a barrier in our lives, a barrier in our career, a barrier to our faith development and progress as Christians. However, a narrow way or gap towards the center offers means of a passage to the other side. It reminds us of Jesus' words in our second reading from Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. The wide gate and the broad way, of course, refers to a life centered around worldly desires, pleasures, and pursuits. It is a life without God, where fulfillment and happiness are sought in material possessions, wealth, fame, and popularity. This path may seem easy and appealing at first glance, but as Christians, we know it ultimately leads to failure and destruction. But small is the gate, and narrow the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. So how do we find and follow the narrow way and enter through the narrow gate? Quite simply, Jesus is the narrow way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way to the Father, the way of life, the way to salvation. Jesus came to and lived on the earth to show us the way. To follow him on this way means we are to walk as he walked. We are to follow in his footsteps, living as he lived. By definition, a way also suggests a measure of progress. When we continue to follow him, we will ultimately progress to where he is now. And how do we find the gate, the entrance to this narrow way? It's not because we are exceptional people or we have done something special that makes us deserving of finding it. It is simply because God, in his boundless love and mercy, instills within our hearts a desire to do good, what is good and pleasing to him, and therefore draws us in the right direction towards the gate. We are Spirit-led. The Holy Spirit, which we have invited to dwell within us, gently prompts and guides us. One of the characteristics of the narrow way is that it requires a life full of self-denial. If you are unwilling to deny self, then you can't be on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. Jesus himself tells us in Luke 9, verse 23, that if we desire to follow him, we must deny ourselves and take up our crosses daily. Failure to do that means we simply can't be his disciples. When we walk through the narrow gate, we become part of the family of God. All are welcome. All are invited. But sadly, not all will choose to enter. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the path to everlasting life. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us on the narrow way to righteousness. Direct us in our thoughts and actions to stay on the narrow path and not to be distracted, causing us to wander. Help us to resist the temptation to follow the crowd down the seemingly easy pathways that ultimately lead to destruction. May we continue to travel with your Son as our companion on the way he has mapped out for us. Amen. And finally, the ultimate freedom and perfect peace. Having shed our burdens, accepted Christ's easy yoke and light load, and followed the narrow path which led to the narrow gate, we can now pass through the gap or gate and catch a glimpse of the ultimate freedom and perfect peace that awaits us. Where we too can sense and experience the total freedom and infinite peace represented through the sculpted figures of the horse and the dog, both running carefree. I am, of course, referring to a life of freedom in Christ and ultimately to heaven, a place of glorious life that will never end, with inexpressible joy, limitless peace, pure love, and beauty beyond description. And greatest of all will be the triune presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, with whom we will all enjoy eternal fellowship. And of course, we will be reunited with loved ones who have also accepted Christ as their Saviour and followed him on the narrow path. Billy Graham wrote, "Heaven will be what we've always longed for. There will be no night, no death, no disease, no sorrows, no tears, no ignorance, no disappointment, no war. It will be filled with happiness, worship, love, and perfection. And above all, our relationship with our God, the Father, will be intimate and direct." God offers us the gift of kinship with him in this life and eternal life beside him in heaven when we die. If we but turn from sin and trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, believe in Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. But do we need to wait for death to experience heaven? No. We don't have to wait until we die to experience heaven. We can start to enjoy it now, even in the middle of whatever circumstances life on this fallen earth throws at us. Heaven's benefits are available to us right now, because Jesus has promised that the kingdom of God is within us, not just an external place you have to wait to visit. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 20 to 21, in his response to the continued questioning of the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God will actually come, Jesus makes this declaration. The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, "Here it is," or "There it is," because the kingdom of God is within you. In other translations, it states the kingdom of God is in your midst. Jesus was telling the Pharisees that he himself had brought the kingdom of heaven down to earth. And Jesus' presence in their midst gave them a taste of the kingdom, as attested by the many miracles that he performed. As we heard from Scripture, "All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It is only by our salvation that we can activate God's kingdom within us, revealed through Jesus Christ, and live a life to its fullest on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. This heaven on earth experience, however, is only a glimpse of how it will ultimately be when we fully enter into God's glorious eternal kingdom. If you are ever in London and have some time available, then can I commend a visit to the Animals in War Memorial, not only to pay homage to the part animals played in war, but also to reflect on its portrayal of our own faith journey. The approach and the burdens borne, Christ's easy yoke and light load. The narrow way and the narrow gate, a testing route, but a rewarding destination. The ultimate freedom and perfect peace. The glory and peace of God, which awaits us all in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, steadfast in your unfailing love and mighty power, we earnestly seek a glimpse of your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. A kingdom where we will be free from the fears and insecurities that plague and haunt us in the present life. Free from all illness, sorrow, and tears, and reunited with loved ones who have already joined you in heavenly grandeur. Heavenly Father, as you prepare our eternal home, may the Holy Spirit strengthen our faith and affirm our Christ-led journey until we too can encounter the ultimate glory that awaits us by your side. Amen. We continue our worship by singing hymn 549, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your enduring faithfulness, that you are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We submit this offering to you today. With it, we worship you and offer our whole selves in service to you. Use them both to grow the kingdom here in Newport-on-Tay and elsewhere around the world, bearing witness to your never-ending glory. Amen. And now we bring our prayers for ourselves, the church, and the world in which we live. There is a prompt and response, Lord, in your mercy, and the response, hear our prayers. Heavenly Father, we bring before you our concerns for ourselves, your church, and the world in which we live. Lord, you are already aware of our unique personal burdens in life, those things which we cannot or will not resolve or release. Help us now to submit them to you, that we may become more able to freely walk the personal pathway you would have us follow. We pray for relationships within our families, within this congregation, and in the wider community. May we forever be supportive of one another, sharing burdens and responsibilities, lightening the load for each other on life's often tortuous journey. May our trust in you never waver, and our faith to follow never falter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church, Lord, its unity and survival in an increasingly hostile and secular world. We pray for our minister and our cluster as we learn to share diminishing resources and learn to worship together. May our vision for the future and the love of Jesus Christ be the bond that brings us together in unity of purpose and witness. May we truly inspire the people of North Fife through our mission action plan. Not a proposal to be drafted, then filed away, but a plan to be translated into reality through prayer and action to bear witness to your power and your glory. We pray that your example and guidance may not be ridiculed and cast out of our national school curriculum, but become once again the foundation stone of a well-established plan for a life in all its fullness. We thank you for our connection with our local school and the work being undertaken there by Chris, our youth worker, and his team. We pray for our brothers and sisters, challenged and persecuted for worshipping you, O Lord, around the world. Guard and defend them, enlighten their persecutors, and bring about tolerance and a freedom to worship wherever in the world they may be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your created world and the diversity of both habitat and inhabitant, whose difference or culture, belief or skin color promotes suspicion and leads to division and hostility. We pray for peace and unity throughout the world. In areas of conflict, let there be resolution and long-standing peace. We pray in particular for the Ukraine, the Middle East, Anglophone Cameroon, and in areas where natural disasters have struck and people have been displaced, let there be continued global support to rebuild homes, relationships, and livelihoods, providing a secure and sustainable future for all refugees. We pray for the people of southern Malawi, whose lives have been devastated by unseasonal climatic events, leading to flooding, landslides, destroyed crops, and famine. The results of environmental conflicts over which they had no effect or influence. The result of climate change and El Nino events, prompted by the pollution and gaseous releases from the wealthiest industrialized nations. We pray for our planet, Lord. We have failed in our duty as custodians to watch over it, causing industrial pollution, forest burning, and the dumping of plastic waste, to turn the land, air, and sea into hostile environments for the animals, birds, and fishes you provided to share the earth with us. We pray that governments throughout the world may heed the concerns of our earth scientists by promoting policies and practices to arrest the major causes of climate change and minimize the effects of global warming. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you, Lord, all those who are afflicted by physical, emotional, or mental illness at this time. Comfort them and strengthen and support all who care for them. We thank you for the skills of our medical teams, our surgeons, anesthetists, nurses, and care staff who deliver the very best of health care, emulating your loving and healing hand. We pray that through the lonely times and in their pain, all in anguish will keep their eyes fixed on you, and you will watch over them and give them the courage they need to endure the suffering and discomfort, ultimately leading them through to a full recovery and rehabilitation. Lord, we pray that you are able to provide solace and inspiration to those who feel detached from you at this moment, those who feel you may not be present in their daily lives, or find it difficult to turn their thoughts towards you. We pray that they are able once again to experience your ever-present and glorifying nature and realize that you had never really left them, but were always there, waiting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in the stillness of our hearts, we bring before you those known to us in need of your healing and compassionate hand. Holy God, who reigns on high, surrounded by those who have served you faithfully across the generations, please welcome into your eternal presence all those who have passed away recently, and help us to draw on the stories of their witness to inspire our own witness and journey of faith. Heavenly Father, comfort those who are approaching the end of their days on earth. Bless them and reassure them of the peace and glory that awaits them in your eternal heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our closing hymn, let us look forward to the coming days and the reassurance that through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, all will be well, as we sing hymn 562, Through the Love of God Our Saviour.
Thank you.
May our journey of faith to continue to follow Christ's footsteps on the narrow way be blessed. And may the Lord keep us safely on that path. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace.